Conan, Leno, Sasseville. Oh, a 22-year-old can dream or do something about it. You got excited when I said that, Jake.
Well, when you say Sasseville, it kind of titillates me.
He's out there hustling his way onto late-night TV, found his own sponsors, got himself on the air, made it onto 39 stations across the country. He calls his show The Edge with Jake Sasseville. Here's a clip.
And I just don't want to host a talk show. I want to show how a 21-year-old gets his own show within my talk show. So you never know whether you're watching the show or the show within the show. Is it Jake making an advertising deal? Is that the show? Or is Jake speed dating with the cast of Saturday Night Live? Maybe that's the show. Hey, what if it were all the show, all at the same time, as the talk show is in progress? Yeah.
Okay, so the show about a show premiered. When did you premiere, Jake?
It premiered last week.
That's very exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Did you like the way you looked on the TV?
In some cases, you know, it's a behind-the-scenes look at how a 22-year-old hustles his own show, so there are some unflattering clips, you know, with behind the scenes. They film me at my house and, you know, when I'm not, like, ready to rock. But that's okay. It all came out okay.
Well, you sort of described what the show is, but I was watching the screener that you have PR folks now, too.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it? A kid from Maine. I can't even fathom this.
Well, your PR people sent over to us a screener, and I thought, was this a reality show or is this a talk show?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Is it a hybrid? Is it the Prius of late night? Like, what is it?
Whoa, hey, I love it. It is the Prius of late night, although I can't really say that because Ford's my sponsor.
We'll get to your sponsors in a minute. That's a big part of the show.
Yeah, no. It really is a show within a show. So it's as much about a late night talk show as it is about how in the heck a 22-year-old sort of puts together, finances, produces his own show. And why that's so important is I think that my generation, when I was putting together this show, I really wanted to brand myself as a voice to the generation. And so I thought, my gosh, I need to be able to embody what this generation is all about, which is just doing it on your own terms, starting things, making it happen, moving forward, and hustle it up. So it sort of became a hybrid of this talk reality show because we wanted to show how this all happens as we also film the program. So it cuts in and out from behind the scenes. It's really like an unscripted Larry Sanders, except it's more real than that, obviously, because it's, you know, even in the first episode, I run out of money completely.
It's sort of sad.
Yeah.
You're sitting there and you're looking at your staff and you're realizing you're not going to pay them.
Yeah.
They're realizing you're not going to pay.
I'm not going to pay. But I knew that I had to because I had a commitment to my staff. So it's as much about, you know, Katrina Bowden, who was on from 30 Rock on the first show, to all of a sudden having to hustle $30,000 overnight and then succeeding. And it's really sort of this, I don't know, this embodiment of the American dream. And you can do it. If I can do it at 22, anybody can do it because, you know, I'm from a small town in Maine and you know, my parents aren't rich. And so it's good. It's a good, I hope it's an inspiration as much as it is entertaining.
Well, you started in Maine with your own sort of cable access show, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't you stay in Maine and do the show there?
Because I had a nasty little obsession with New York City. And I wanted to come down here and do college here. I started the show when I was 15, like you said, in Maine. And then I brought it to Fox Affiliates, where I created sort of this business model, this time-buy business model. And I realized that we really had something here and that I should push it. So came to New York and made a commitment to myself that by the end of college in 4 years that I would get the show on the air. And technically, I was supposed to graduate this year, and my show's on the air. I won't be graduating this year. It'll take a little more time because I haven't been able to go full time.
Now, when you start to deal with the suits and the man at major networks and in affiliates and the things like that, did you have to make compromises about what the show would be to make them happy?
Mainly the people that I answer to, because I choose to answer to them, are the sponsors that have sponsored the show. Because I've done this all independently. A lot of people think, well, he's on 39 Markets. He's on after Jimmy Kimmel Live on ABC Affiliates. ABC must have given him a deal. Not at all. I've created the deal for myself in sort of this pseudo self-syndication model. So I cleared the time after Jimmy Kimmel. I created a campaign. I want my Jake after Jimmy on ABC. And then I started just self-syndicating. And then I started approaching sponsors who wanted to hit this 18 to 25-year-old sweet spot. So the people that I answer to is not a network, thank God. It's sponsors that really believe in Jake, the brand, and the Edge, the show, and want to see it succeed.
Is there anything that you've determined is off limits for your show? Because you either want to protect somebody, family, part of your life.
Great question, actually. I like to straddle that edge, if you will, between mainstream and extreme. You know, so like we did a segment that's going to come up later on in the season, which is a little questionable. I went to interview a nude model at an art studio, and we took it to the Edge by me also taking off my clothes while I was interviewing her.
Wow.
Hello. Now, here's the thing, though. When I first heard this pitch, I said, no way, Jose, because that was just way too personal for me. I mean, come on, 40 million households. I don't have time to take off my clothes for everybody, nor do I want to lose viewers. But when I started thinking about it more, and when we started actually teasing out the segment, we realized that America really has a problem with their body image.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the underlying philosophy to that particular segment could be just battling with this. So the show is a behind-the-scenes look, obviously, at how things are coming together. So you see me having a little bit of a conniption before I go to take off my clothes. And it's this whole sort of thing of how does this happen, and sort of also philosophizing, without actually putting it in anybody's face, of, you know, what this would be like if this were me, and would I do it, and what's the image, what's the body image issue? So I ended up doing it, and it was a fantastically funny segment. And I think it's going to be good.
Do you consider yourself a comedian? Because a lot of these folks who get these late night shows, they're the funny guys.
No, I don't consider myself a comedian. I am funny at times. It's more the edgy and irreverence and just really wanting to just to talk to people and really genuinely find out what's going on and what makes people tick and go from there.
Well, a big part of the show is the business model that you talked about a little bit earlier. Can you give me your pitch? You walk into Company X.
My whole thing is building a relationship with these guys, because these guys have no reason to, they have no reason to spend the money that they're spending with me other than the fact that, you know, they see this 22-year-old who genuinely wants to build a relationship and wants to genuinely give back to this brand. So that's the angle I take on it. If I go in there and pitch, they hear a million pitches a day. They don't want to have that. But if I go in there and you know, show that I know what's going on with their company and what their business and what I can bring to that table as you know, as I'm branding myself to hit this 18 to 25-year-old demo, then I think that they feel like they have something to talk about. You know, I remember this Ad Age article came out a couple weeks ago about the business model. And the reporter called me and she said, "You're telling me you have Ford Motor Company on board?" I said, "Yeah." And she said, "That doesn't make any sense." And I said, "Okay." I mean, but she says it takes people years to get a car company on board, and you got them on in 3 months. How did you do that? And she didn't believe me, so much so that she called the president's office at Ford and got me in a little bit of trouble, because apparently I wasn't supposed to be doing the Ad Age article because Ford wasn't official yet and all of that. So interesting line to straddle. My pitch is usually very informal, and I just it's a lot of asking questions. Mm-hmm. I ask questions about what they're looking for. And I did this Anthony Robbins sales mastery kit, and I literally – now this
oh,
is
wait, for, he's on in the middle of the night too. Right?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
He has
infomercials.
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
got the very perfect hair.
That's right. Is that him? Yeah.
That's him, yes.
So I did his sales mastery kit, and literally within 2 weeks of doing that kit and learning how to really sell by building relationships, I closed my first six-figure deal. 2 weeks after doing that, after never ever closed a six-figure deal before.
Why aren't you having him on the show?
I would like to. I've actually went
Come
to his
on.
Conference. I know, I'm trying. I'm calling him and not calling him back. He's in Fiji or something.
So are we going to end up on your show? Will the Bryant Park Project actually end up on the Jake Sassaville show?
Not only that, but ratings will be sky high because it's going to be the middle of the season. Holla, holla, holla. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what part of the – where does your appearance on the Bryant Park Project at NPR – see, I'm good at doing this too.
That's good.
Where does this fit into your arc, your story arc for your 13 weeks?
It's going to be show 9, and it's going to be the show about fame and what this means going from local access to this nationally syndicated show, mm-hmm. and the different press that we're doing, and sort of how you deal with all this. You know, being overheard at parties and then being written up the next day in a little tabloid, to, you know, doing the Bryant Park Project. To other things as well. So it's gonna be in that episode.
We asked the smartest questions, didn't we? At NPR.
You've shown the most genuine interest, because a lot of people
Thank
just
you.
Want the sound bites, and truly, you guys have shown the most genuine interest, and the producer is fantastic.
Jake Sassaville, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.